I would like to begin with a story about a man. The year is 2009. This man finds himself living in the middle of a corrupt, immoral, pagan, postmodern-like culture and society that has no thought for God, at least no thought for the God of the Bible. All the institutions, the schools, the worship centers, the government offices are hostile to the ways of faith. Not only does this man live in a culture that challenges any attempt to live for God, but he's also facing major life changes. He's relocating. He has been called to relocate hundreds of miles away from his home. With all the stress on the emotions and on relationships that something like that brings. In addition, he's caring for an elderly parent. And this parent is not in good health and may soon die. Does that sound familiar? Could be Tom in Chicago, or Marvin out in San Francisco, or Jim up in Maine. Could be your neighbor. Could be a fellow coworker. Could be you. But when I tell you his name, you'll recognize it. His name is Abram, better known as Abraham. The year is 2009 BC. I want you to take your Bibles and open them up to Genesis chapter 11. Genesis 11. You remember that we've been studying in the book of Genesis. In Genesis chapters 1 through 11, we have seen the need for redemption. It talks about the primitive history of man and how man sinned and rebelled against God and was separated from his creator. God, praise God, immediately when man sinned, God took action and gave a promise in Genesis 3:15. He said, I've got a solution for your problem. I'm going to send a redeemer. I'm going to send one that will bring salvation and will once again restore or bring the opportunity for the relationship with me to be restored. And God began his work of redemption. In chapters 12 through 50, which if the Lord tarries, we're going to go through, it shows us how God works out this plan in human history. Chapters 1 through 11 were primitive history of man. Now we get to the patriarchal history. And we see in chapters 1 through 11, it was centered around four major events. The creation, the fall, the flood, and Babel. The last chapters, 12 through 50, center around four persons: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. And the first one is this guy we call, he's called Abram. Later, his name is changed to Abraham. And you know, this guy is probably the most important figure in the book of Genesis. In fact, one of the most important figures in all the Bible. He is mentioned some 115 times outside of Genesis in the Bible. 73 times in the New Testament. He is lifted up in the New Testament as the supreme example of justification by faith. Somebody that lived by faith. In fact, he's called in Romans chapter 4, verse 11, the father of all them that believe. If you're a believer here today, if you're saved, you're here in the church today, Abraham is your spiritual father. He's the father of all them that believe. And you know, he was not a perfect person. And that, you know, I love that about Scripture. Scripture doesn't, you know, if I were going to write the Bible, I'd write it altogether differently than the Holy Spirit did. Because I would paint these guys as perfect people and just point out their good part. But the Holy Spirit doesn't do that. This guy was not a perfect person. But he was a man that lived by faith. He was a man that lived by faith. Abraham lived in Ur of the Chaldees. Just as a little bit of background. Ur was a flourishing city when he was there. Ur is located or was located in what is today modern day Iraq. It's located in between the Tigris and Euphrates River. We all know, I believe, where Iraq is because of all the recent things that have been happening there. But that's where he was from, and it was a flourishing city. The archaeologists tell us that this city was an advanced civilization. As far as mentally and materially, they were advanced. They were a very important city and highly developed. But as far as spiritually and morally, this was a decadent society. It was a society that was idol worship was practiced and worship of false gods. In fact, they had room for all kinds of gods, only not the God of the Bible. Does that sound familiar? I'll tell you what, you can go into schools today and talk about any God. You can go into universities, talk about any God, but you start talking about the God of the Bible. You start talking about Jesus Christ, and we don't want that God. That's how it was back at the time of Abraham. It was a decadent society. Room for all other gods, not room for the true God. It was into that culture, into that kind of society that Abraham was born. Now, Abraham, again, perhaps the most important person in the book of Genesis, is an example to us. How do you live in a society like that? There's only one way to live and be successful in God's eyes, and that is by faith. And he's an example of that. And he, as we look at his life, and we're going to be looking at his life again as the Lord tarries over the next couple of months, you see wonderful lessons of faith. Wonderful lessons of faith. And I'll bet you today we'll learn some things about how to live by faith. We're to, as believers, live by faith. Walk by faith and not by sight. This is how we're to live. This is how we can live successfully. Well, first of all, let's look at faith starting out. Faith starting out. And again, continuing his story, Abraham was born, but he was not born into a godly family. He wasn't born into a Christian family. He was actually born into an ungodly family. His father, Terah, was a worshiper of idols, a worshiper of false gods. I don't know if you were what kind of family you were born into. But I'm going to tell you something. If you were born into a godly family, if you have a Christian mom and dad, you ought to get down on your knees and thank God. You ought to thank God. Because there are people like Abraham that weren't born into a godly family. They were born into a pagan family. And Abraham grew up in that kind of a family. And actually, the scripture tells us he too was an idol worshiper. I believe it's in Joshua 24 where it describes Abraham's family, Terah, his father, and Abraham. And it says they worshiped other gods. They worshiped false gods. But you know what? God had a plan for Abram. And God, it says, God chose him. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 7 states, "You are the Lord God. You chose Abram and brought him out of Ur of the Chaldees." He said, well, wait a second. I thought you said, Pastor, he was an idol worshiper. I thought you said he worshiped false gods. Why would God choose him? Good question. You know the answer? What is it, folks? What's the answer? Grace! Spell it out in big letters. G-R-A-C-E. Grace! Nothing in Abraham. But Why'd God choose you? Thank you. You got it. God didn't look down at less seven. Man, that less seven, he's good looking. Man, is he, he's religious. He's just so wonderful. I think I'll, he didn't look at you like that. He said, look at that wretch, less seven. I'm a gracious God. I have plans for you. And he called him. He called him. How'd he call him? We don't know. Was it a vision? Was it a dream? Did he hear an audible voice from heaven? I don't know. But it says God called. Abraham? Yeah? I got plans for you. Here's what I want you to do. Pack up. Leave your home. Leave your family. Leave everything that's familiar to you. I want you to go. Okay. Where, Lord? Just go. Just go. Just go. Trust me. Go out, trust me. Where to, Lord? Just go. Now, folks, after service today, I plan to leave for vacation. We're going down to Myrtle Beach. And I'm going to tell you what. I went up to AAA. I got maps. I borrowed my son's GPS. Don't know how to use it, but I got it. I'm going to find out how to use it. We had a little practice going up to Moody. Good GPS. I got on MapQuest. Got the directions. I called ahead. Made reservations at Holiday Inn. You know what? Abraham had no maps. He was to march without maps. He had no GPS. He was to go without a GPS. Well, actually he had a GPS, God's positioning system. He had to trust God. Step out. Go. But you know what? We read these things and we sometimes don't get into the story. Can you imagine what it was like when he went home that night and said, Sarai, what? I got some news. God talked to me today. Yeah? Yeah. What'd he tell you? Where to move? Where to move? Where to? Have no clue. But God just said move. Wives, what would you do if your husband came home and said that? Now I know the wives of Faith Bible Fellowship are spiritual ladies. You'd say, oh, okay, let's pack up and we're going to go. And I'll follow you, honey, because what would you say? You're crazy. I ain't moving. You mean pull the kids out of school? In the middle? Where? You mean move to a... What? We don't even know where we're going. Go. Trust me. And you know what? The scripture says, Hebrews 11:8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out into a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. God said, go, and by faith, he said, okay, Lord, I'm going to trust you. He stepped out. And you know what? We all begin our relationship with God with a step of faith. God says to us, you know what? I loved you. And I came down to this planet in the person of my son. And Jesus died on the cross. Any of you there? I didn't see it. How do I know it's true? By faith. I take God at his word. In fact, the Bible says not only did he die on the cross, but there was a spiritual purpose in that. He died for my sins. You know, the people that were there, did they look at Jesus and there was this big pile of sins on them? No. They just saw a dying man on a cross. How do we know that he took our sins? How do we know, folks? Faith. He died for our sins according to the scriptures. God told us. And I take God at his word. Then 3 days later, he what? Rose from the dead. How do we know? Were you there? Anybody said, were you there? How do you know Jesus is alive? How do you know, folks? By faith. He died. He was died for us. Buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scripture. God said he rose again. And you know what? I believe him. I take God at his word. And you know what? The day I did that 39 years ago, I took my first baby step. Took my first step. I wasn't there, but I believe God. And Abraham took his first baby step by faith. When God called him, what did he do? He obeyed. By the way, how do we know that we have faith? What is the evidence of faith? Obedience. Obedience. You see, he obeyed God. Faith, somebody said, faith forsaking all, I trust him. And Abraham trusted God, and Abraham obeyed God. What is faith? Warren Wiersbe, and I love this definition of faith. He says this, faith is not believing in spite of the evidence. It is obeying in spite of the consequences. Isn't that a good definition? It's not believing in spite of the evidence. All evidence says that this is not true. You ever see God? No, it's not believing in spite of the evidence. It's obeying in spite of the consequences. And Abraham obeyed, and it was easy. Was it easy? No! Leave everything, Abraham. Go out. Leave your home. Leave your family. Leave your job. Leave your... Pull your kids out of school. No, he didn't have kids. But if he had kids, pull your kids out of school. You know, it wasn't easy. I'll tell you what, the life of faith is not easy. Sometimes God asks you to do stuff that, you know what, it's hard. Sometimes he asks you to do something and it's out of your comfort zone. You know, like yesterday, ministering out here. I won't say who, but they said, you know, Pastor, I've never done this before. I've never shared my faith before. And I'm afraid. But by faith they did. And God moved. Faith. Faith. And it's shown forth in obedience. In obedience. And maybe God's even, maybe today. Maybe you're here today and God's asked you to do something that's out of your comfort zone. Can I challenge you to step out in faith? You see, the beginning is stepping out in faith. Well, Abraham did that. And he went out, and he went so far, and he stopped. He stopped. Brings us to point two. Faith stopping off. We had faith starting out. Now we have faith stopping off. Look at your Bibles in Genesis 11, verse 31. Terah, that's his dad, took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, that's Abram's brother, his grandson, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went out together from Ur of the Chaldeans in order to enter the land of Canaan. And they went as far as Haran, and they what? Settled there. They dwelt there. The days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now, when Abraham was called, God said, go out, and Abraham started going. He didn't know where he was going. Now, there's a little phrase here. I want you to look at this, because this hit me this time going through the Bible. It says, they went out together from Ur of the Chaldeans in order to enter the land of Canaan. Now, that could mean one of two things. Either when Abraham started out, he didn't know where he was going, but when he took a step of faith, God gave him more light. Maybe after he started going, God said, now I see you're walking by faith. Now I want you to go to the land of Canaan. Because it said they went out to go into the land of Canaan. That could mean, and you know, God sometimes does that. At least he's done that in my life. When you're willing to take one step of faith, I don't know what the outcome is going to be, God. I don't know which way to go, but I want to serve you. So I take that step of faith, and then the way becomes a little clearer. Sometimes he gives you more light. That could mean that God gave him more light and said, you went out, now I want you to go to the land of Canaan. Or this could just be revealing that that was God's purpose. But one thing we do know, folks, it was God's will not for them to be where? In Haran. It was God's will for them to go to the land of Canaan. But they started out in faith, but they came to Canaan and they stopped. They came to Haran and they stopped. Now, what we see here is partial obedience. They left Ur, went as far as Haran, stopped. Listen, the name Terah, you know what the name Terah means? It means delay. Listen, delayed obedience is disobedience. Partial obedience is disobedience. He went out and he was walking by faith, but they got to Haran and they stopped. I asked myself, well, why did they stop? And again, we don't know for sure. Was it that, you know, Haran was a commercial center on a trade route, and it was probably a pretty cool town, maybe? And maybe they thought, Dan, this is kind of a cool place. Let's settle down here. Maybe it was because of Terah's health, his father's health. He said, well, you know what? We better settle down here. Dad's not in too good of health. We don't know. Maybe they got tired of living out of a suitcase. But they said, let's stop here. Let's stop. And this is interesting. Do you know what the word Haran means? It means a dry place. A dry place. Parched. And when I'm walking by faith and I disobey God, spiritually, many times we end up in Haran, a dry place. Oh, Pastor, I've been reading my Bible lately, but it is so dry. Well, if you're reading in Numbers in the genealogies, get on with it. Right? I mean, hey. Get on with it. But if you're reading your Bible and enjoying it less, are you in Haran? Have you disobeyed God? Is there something in your life you're walking by faith, but you stopped? Oh, I've been going to church lately, but boy, are those services dry. Is the pastor's sermons dry? Maybe you're dry. Now, to be honest, I'm going to tell you what. When I get out and disobey God, heaven help you. Because it'll get mighty dry. I read the Akron Beacon Journal. I'm not boasting in that. But I read the most important section. When I get the Akron Beacon Journal, our neighbor gives it to us. I don't buy it. Our neighbor gives it to us. I turn to the most important section. I read the comics. It's the best part of the Akron Beacon Journal is the comics. And one comic, High and Lois. They have a son named Ditto. And Ditto walks in and he says, "I learned something in school today." And his mom and dad look at him and say, "Wonderful. What did you learn?" He says, "I learned that there are new depths of boredom I never knew before." And I'm going to tell you, I would never mention any names, but I've gone to some churches and heard some pastors. I'll tell you what, the depths of boredom. Now, maybe I was dry. I don't know. Or maybe they were dry. All I know is Haran's a dry place. It's a dry place. Pastors can get dry. No amens. But they can't. Like the country pastor that was preaching on that hot summer morning, and they had the windows open, he put his notes down on the pulpit, and he's preaching, and a breeze come through and blew his sermon right out the window. And the cow ate it and went dry. I'm going to tell you, pastors can get, pray for me. But you know what? Here we see, I'll tell you, Abraham's not a perfect guy. He walked up, praise God, he stepped up, but he got to Haran and he settled down. And God's intent was to go where? Canaan. Dry place. It's not only a dry place, it's a place of death. You see that verse 32? Terah died there. He died in Haran. I want to ask you this morning, we examine our hearts. Are you parked in Haran? Are you parked in Haran? And your spiritual pilgrimage, maybe you stepped out in faith, maybe you're saved, maybe you came out from the Ur of the Chaldees, but you went so far, and now you're parked. And you know it. It's dry. Got news for you. God doesn't want you to stop there. He wants you to go on. He's got better stuff for you down in the land of Canaan. Which leads us to point number 3. We have faith starting out, faith stopping off, and faith starting over. If you look at Genesis 12, 1 through 4, faith starting over. "Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country, from your relatives, from your father's house, to a land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and curse those who curse you. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed." Let's just stop right there. Folks, this is a recall. This is a recall. He was called initially, you can read about this over in Acts chapter 7. He was initially called in Ur of the Chaldeans, of the Chaldees. This is a recall. And you know what? I read this and I'm so thankful that when we get off track, when we are disobedient, when we get parked in Haran, God just doesn't say, "Forget them, he's shelved. She shelved." God issues a recall. Amen. God gives you a second chance, third chance, fourth. God is always calling us back. He's always, his plan is to use you and me. Yes. Praise God. And so he calls out to Abram again. He calls out and we see this, and God called to Abraham, and he recalls him, and I'm so thankful. But I want you to see, there's a cost. There's a cost in the call. In verse 1, he called him to separate. Leave. Leave everything that man says brings stability. Leave your family. Leave your country. Leave your familiar surroundings. Leave your home. Leave your job. Go out. And it's a tough call. It's a tough call. Following God is not generally easy. Especially, folks, listen to this, living in a society like we have today. And I don't want to discourage anybody, but it's not going to get any easier. It's going to be tough. But God calls him. God said, go. And faith started packing the bags. Amazing. And his call was to separation. And I just got to share that. God's call today is still to separation. And it's not generally geographic. This was geographic separation. This was separation, go to a different place. God's call is separation from the world. Not isolation, separation. We're to be in the world, but we are not to be of the world. We're to be different, folks. As far as our, not only our beliefs, but our behavior is to be different than the world. People should be able to look at my life, look at your life, and not say, boy, what a jerk. Or what a religious fanatic. That's not what we're talking about. But there's something different about that life, and something that is attractive about that life. Because we're not so much like the world that they can't tell a difference. And I have to say this today in the Church of Jesus Christ. I think we've forgotten that. I think sometimes we look like the world and smell like the world and walk like the world and talk like the world. And we wonder why people aren't coming to Christ. Because we forgot we're to be different. And again, not to be a jerk. You know what I'm talking about. Some people go out and they act like jerks. But we're called to be different in holiness. Different in our lifestyle. Loving the lost. We're no better than anybody else, but we should be different. And that's tough. That was the call of Abraham, separate. But the promises. Oh, the promises. Do you see them down in verses 2 and 3? Look there. It's tough, but the blessings are wonderful. He says this. God says, gives him a sevenfold blessing. He said, I'll make you a great nation. He didn't even have any kids. He said, I'll make you a great nation. I'll bless you. And I'll tell you what, I thought it's the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich. And he adds no sorrow to it. I'll bless you. I'll make your name great. You remember the people at the Tower of Babel? They said, let's build a city. Let's build a tower that'll reach up to heaven. Let's make a name for ourselves. They said, God will make a name for ourselves. God said, Abraham, follow me in faith, and I'll make your name great. I'll make your name great. And I'll tell you what, God did that. God, he says, I'll make you great. Abraham is revered by Christians, by Jews, and by Muslims. All hold his name in high esteem. I'll make you a blessing. And don't you love that? What God's saying here is, I'll bless your life. I'll bless you to be a blessing. That's neat. I want all the blessings of God, but God bless me so my life will be a blessing to other people. Amen? What a wonderful promise he makes. What a wonderful promise. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. Now listen to this. These promises are not only to Abram, but to his descendants. His descendants are who? Well, spiritually. How about physically? The Jews. Israel. I'll just aside. You know what? If the United States of America wants the blessings of God, I'll tell you what, we better be careful how we treat the nation of Israel. We have officials from our government over, I believe right now, in the Middle East, meeting with the Saudis, going to meet with the Egyptians, pushing this two-state solution. We're going to talk about more about that as we get on to chapter 15. He says, I will curse those who curse you. Two words for curse. If you curse Israel, if you disdain them, if you treat them with contempt, God says, that's one word. The other word is, I will curse. God will bring his power and his wrath and his plagues against those who disdain and deal with Israel with contempt. I'm going to tell you what, folks. I think this is something. But we should, I believe, the descendants of, he says, I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And then he goes on and he says that all the families of the earth through you will be blessed. Through the descendants of Abram, the Redeemer would come. Fulfillment of Genesis 3:15 would come and take place through the descendants of Abram, through the Shemites or the Semites, through the Eberites, the Hebrews, through the descendants of Abraham, the whole world would be blessed. And you know what, folks? He's done that. Because it was through the Jew that we have our Bibles. And it was through the Jew that Messiah Jesus came. And all the world is blessed through the descendants of Abraham. What a promise. I'll tell you what, God calls us. And I'll tell you, sometimes it's hard. It's hard to follow God. We got to do it by faith. We got to trust God. But the blessings, when you walk by faith, are out of this world. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, we have faith starting out. Faith stopping off. Faith starting over. And faith stepping up. Because look at his response in verse 4. When God called him by faith, called him, gave him a renewed call. So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him. And Lot went with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he departed for Haran. God said, okay, here's a renewed call. I want you to go to the land of Canaan. And Abram stepped up. And again, I'll stop here. Is God calling you to do something? Is God calling you to start a ministry? Is God calling you to forgive somebody? Is God calling you to witness to someone? Is God calling you? Step up and step out. Walk by faith. He said, okay, I'm gone. And he went out. He went out. The road may be rough, but the blessings will follow. And Abraham obeyed God, verse 5. Look what it says there. And set out for the land of Canaan. Abram took Sarai his wife and Lot his nephew and all their possessions which they had accumulated and the persons which they had acquired in Haran. They set out for the land of Canaan. Thus they came to the land of Canaan. He got there. He walked by faith. And Abram passed through the land as far as the site of Shechem, the oak of Moreh. Now the Canaanite was in the land. Abraham passes through the land and he comes to Shechem. The word Shechem means the place of the shoulder. The place of the shoulder. I love what Warren Wiersbe says about this. He says, how wonderful it is for the believer to live in the place of the shoulder. where underneath are the everlasting arms. You know what? When we're obeying by faith, we're at the place of the shoulder. You know what came to my mind? I read that and I see that shepherd with that sheep. Where is it? He's carrying it on his shoulder. And when I walk by faith and I believe God and I trust God and live according to his word, I'm on his shoulders. I'm on Shechem, the place of the... How wonderful, underneath of the everlasting arms. What a wonderful life the faith life is. What a wonderful life. And he proceeded from Shechem to the mountain with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. Look up in verse 7. It says, "And the Lord appeared to Abram and said, 'To your descendants I will give this land.' So he built an altar there and to the Lord who had appeared to him. And then he proceeded from there to the mountain on the east of Bethel, pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Abraham journeyed on, continuing to the Negev." He goes, and here he is, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. The word Ai means a heap of ruins. And Bethel is what? The house of God. And here he's living by faith. He turns his back to the world. I'll tell you what, you follow the world and the way of the world, you'll end up in the end of life with a heap of ruins. But if you live by faith, I tell you, you have your house toward your eyes toward the house of God. The house of God. And two things, folks, characterized Abraham's life. The man of faith, the woman of faith, two things characterized his life. Here they are: the altar and the tent. The altar and the tent. You watch. We'll go through this. Almost every place, not every place, but almost every place Abraham went, he built an altar. And he pitched his tent, built an altar. Altar speaks of our relationship with God. Worshiping God. He built an altar and called on the name of the Lord. Wherever you go, do you build an altar? See, I thought the altar was right here, Pastor. The altar is on your shop. The altar is in the fire department. The altar is at Allstate? I got it right. I was going to say State Farm. Allstate. Wherever you go, do you build an altar? Are you calling on God throughout the day? Are you praising him? Are you aware that he's there? And man, we're living in constant praise of God. That's the life of faith. How about your tent? You know, tent speaks of the life of the pilgrim. He never built a city. He never put down roots in this world. He was living for something much greater. He was living for the city. And for the country. That is more real than this world will ever be. His heart was on heaven. I read a little story about an American tourist. She was over in Poland, and she visited the home of a rabbi named Rabbi Chaim, Hofitz Chaim. And he lived in a one-room little place, and there was books filled with books. And there was a table, just a little table, and a chair. And this American tourist was there, and she went over to the rabbi, and she said, "Rabbi Chaim, where's your furniture?" And he looked at her and said, "Where's yours?" She said, well, I'm only a visitor here. I'm just passing through. He said, me too. You see, when we live by faith, folks, it's not about this world. I mean, it's not about getting a piece of the rock. We live on the rock. We've got the whole rock of ages in Jesus. Are you a person of the tent? A man of the altar, a woman of prayer? Oh, the life of faith. I'm just going to conclude. Just ask a couple questions. Where are you spiritually? Where are you in your spiritual pilgrimage? Are you still in error? Have you heard God's call? Have you heard God say, you know, by grace, I choose you. Have you heard him? Get up and step out. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Get out of error. Maybe you say, Pastor, I've done that. I've made that commitment of faith. I'm a Christian. Are you parked in Haran? Are you in a dry place? Are you partially serving Jesus, but your whole heart's not in it? Are you parked in Haran? Hear his recall. Get up. I got better for you. The land of Canaan is a wonderful place. The life of faith. Are you building altars and pitching your tent? What lessons we can learn? Let's bow in prayer.